1 Kings chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 54, and we'll go ahead and go down to verse, let's say, 63. I was going to stop at 61, but I'd like to take the next two verses as I was kind of scanning the verses here on the platform. So when you find it, if you're able to stand, go ahead and do so as we read, again, responsively. We'll read 54, I'll read that, 55 together. And then 56 back and forth, all the way down to verse 63. Verse 63. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel.
Amen.
According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God.
Amen.
And that there is none else.
Amen.
Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as at this day. The king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. Went a little far, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight.
Thank you
for this great text here of this dedication service of King Solomon and the children of Israel. Lord, as I preach the message that I do believe you've led me to preach tonight, I need thee tonight. We all need thee.
Yes,
please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit as I give forth your word. I yield myself to thee as best as I know how. And Lord, give us all ears to hear as we hear your word this evening.
Yes,
Lord, encourage us tonight by the things that we read here in this text.
Amen.
And we ask your blessing and help, recognizing we need thee.
Yes,
for we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, here in our text, we have, and we've been kind of in this dedication service for a while here, but here in our text, we have now entered into the fourth and final part of Solomon's dedication service of the first temple in Jerusalem. What a day it was.
Amen.
Just an amazing day. I mean, after 6 years of preparing and planning for this temple, 2 years, of course, in David's reign, 4 years in Solomon's reign, just of planning and preparation and gathering all the materials, then 7 years of building this absolutely beautiful Ephesus, it was in the 11th year of Solomon's reign, right here, that now the temple is finally complete. Now, we know in chapter 8 and verse 1, and you can glance back there if you like to, that it was at that time when the temple was complete that Solomon decides to call all the people of Israel together to come to the city of Jerusalem, to that temple mount where the temple there, this brand new building, was sitting. He calls the heads of each tribe, he calls the chiefs of each of the families and everybody else, and they've all gathered together here at this temple dedication service, which was no doubt of great proportion. Now, thus far, we have looked at the first three parts of this service. Part one was when they brought the Ark of the Covenant from the old city of David. They brought it up to the Temple Mount there. That is recorded for us in chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Then once they did that and they brought it into the Holy of Holies, and that was complete, Solomon turns and he begins to preach to the people, a rather short sermon. Good. Nobody said amen. Ah, yes, good. Why not the same? I was right. Amen. It was a short sermon, but it's from verses 12 to 21, and he preaches about the importance of the house of God. And then, of course, on that scaffold that he built, he begins to pray. And that prayer that we were dealing with for several messages now begins in verse 22 of chapter 8 and goes all the way down to verse 53, of which we broke down that prayer into three parts. We saw his praying, his communing with God. Then we saw his praying, his confessing to God. Then we saw his praying, his petitioning to God. And we kind of related that to our prayer life as well. Now tonight we're going to look at this final part of this great ceremony. Now in verse 54, we just read it a moment ago, we read that King Solomon ends his prayer and supplication to the Lord. He rises from off of his knees, he stands up, and now what he does, he begins to once again just kind of speak to the congregation after his prayer. And what is interesting about this part of the service is that Solomon's not praying anymore. Neither is he technically preaching anymore. So what if we had to call it something, what would we say that he is doing? Well, one commentator said this about what Solomon is doing here. He said Solomon is blessing the congregation. Taken from verse 55, notice, and he stood and blessed all the congregation. Schofield says that, and Alexander McLaren calls it the blessing of the congregation. And that's true. Another commentator, John Butler, I like his works, he says that Solomon is giving a postlude to his prayer with part supplication and part exhortation, and that's true too. Another said that he is given a benediction. Kind of always wondered what exactly that word meant. But anyway, in other words, a sanction or an approval. Again, like Butler said, a postscript to all that he said in his prayer. Now, while I'm not disagreeing with any of that at all tonight, I'm going to say it this way. If I were to describe what exactly is Solomon doing here, here's what I'd like to describe it. I would say that Solomon is giving the people one final reminder, one last little push, if you will, before they break up and offer sacrifices and are dismissed and go back to their daily routine. He's going to give them this one final reminder.
Amen.
Now, how many played sports? Raise your hand if you played. No, you played? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, some of us played sports. I did. I played baseball and football. I wrestled. I played soccer. And you know, if you've played sports, when you're about ready to go in, right, and the game's about ready to start, the coach gets the team in the locker room or on the field somewhere. And what does he do? He stops for a moment, gets you together, and he gives you those final reminders of things you have to remember before you go into this game. It's kind of like a pep talk, if you will. And I think that's kind of what Solomon is doing here, at least in my opinion. These are his final words to the people while he's got them here in this setting before they go on with their daily lives. And so tonight I want to preach, I hope, to be an encouraging message that I've entitled this, The Reminding of a King. Again, Solomon's going to give them some things that are vital for them to remember, and by extension, for me and you as well, that are vital for us to remember.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that all of us need again and again and again are reminders,
right.
Some more than others, some people, but we need them, amen?
Amen.
Now, it's my job in the house to feed the dog. Does anybody, amen, right? How many else have that job? Feeding the dog. Well, I buy this big bag of food at Sam's, a 35-pound bag. We bring it home. I get this 5-gallon jug, like the kind you get at Lowe's and all, that have a cap. Sometimes they sell laundry, and we clean it out. Don't worry. But anyway, and I pour the food into that bag. We place it in the bottom of the pantry, and we put the lid on it. And what I do twice a day, of course, in the morning and after lunch, she gets a scoop of food. Now, it's that simple. Now, when I first started doing that, that particular way, we've always fed her. But when I first started doing it that way, if we were busy during the day and it became the afternoon, I'd ask my wife a lot of times, honey, did I feed the dog? I just forgot. I didn't know. I mean, day after day, you do the routine. You think, did I feed the dog? So what I decided to do, I came up with a little system. I took a little piece of paper about the size of this here, and I wrote it here. You probably can't see this from where you're at. But I made it on my computer. I cut it to this side, size, and on one side, it says fed a.m., and on the other side, it says fed p.m. I'm a genius, amen? No. I'm just kidding. And so what I do is I scoop the thing out and I pour. I take that little piece of paper and I said, fed a.m. So later on in the afternoon, I open the door and I wonder, did I feed her? Well, fed a.m. I didn't feed her, so feed her again. Flip it over. Fed p.m. There it is. And then, of course, that's sitting on the lid. And you know, but then I know what you're thinking. So how about if you forget to flip the paper? Well, I've done that before, too. So maybe I should write another paper that says, don't forget to flip the paper. You know, and then don't forget to read the paper that tells you to flip the paper. Anyway, we could go on forever with this thing. Sometime you got to remember it, right? But my point is this. Why do we do this kind of stuff? Now, you have your little quirks, too. Some people tie little strings around their fingers. Some people do all kinds of things. Don't, you know, hang things on your visor in your car. Whatever it may be, we do those things. Why? Because we all need reminders. I know what you're thinking. As you get older, you need more, don't you? Amen. And you do. But we need them. Now, these reminders need to be applied not just to the menial things and the simpler routine things in life, but they also we need reminders in our spiritual life as well. Really, lots of times, like this morning's message, a simple message, but it was reminders, stuff that I hope most of us knew. We need to be reminded of things again and again and again and again. Amen. And by the way, that's biblical. It really is. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, Peter telling the folks he's writing to, those Jews, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Interesting, he said that. He says, you know this, but you need to be reminded of it. That sounds like all of us. We could say half the stuff we hear in messages in Sunday school. If you've been around this long, I know that, but we need to be reminded. Again and again. 2 Peter 3:1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. 1 John 2:21, watch this. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. Well, that's interesting. I'm not writing this to you because you don't know it. I'm writing it to you because you know it. And we would say, well, then why are you writing it to us if we know it? Because we need a reminder. Amen. We need a reminder again and again and again. Jude verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So again, we all need to be reminded of spiritual truths. Now, I remember one preacher saying one time, he said, don't be afraid to repeat yourself. And that's true. We should now to a point. You know, same thing every service, that's a little over the top. But don't be afraid to repeat yourself. If you're a Sunday school teacher working with the bus kids, on the bus route, whatever it may be, don't be afraid. Say it again and again and again and again because we need it. When I first came here, some of the first series that I did were series like this, Why We Believe the King James Bible. Amen. And then I did a Wednesday night series, Why We Are Baptists. We talked about, is there right and wrong music? And other things like that. Guess what? I'm going to be revisiting some of that stuff again and again. Why? Because we need it. We forget. And we need it again and again. And I think of the day that we're living in today. It is a trying day. It is a troubling day, if you will, with all the things that are going on in our nation, in our schools, in the cities, and all of the fear and uncertainty that's out there, and all the propaganda that we're hearing all around us. There are certain things that you and I need to be reminded of about our God. Again and again and again and again. Now, this is exactly what I think Solomon is doing. And so tonight, I want to point out to you from this text what I think to be four things that he's reminding them of. Simple message, short message, and we'll be done tonight. Notice, first of all, number one, I see in this text that Solomon is reminding the people of God's promises.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 66. Of course, after we read the narrative telling us he's done, he gets up from his kneeling, he stands, and he blesses the congregation. Notice what he says first to them. He says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised.
Amen.
There hath not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." He's reminding them of God's promises. Now, I think, first of all, he reminds them of two things concerning God's promises. Number one is this: what God has done.
Amen.
What he's done. For centuries, God promised the Jews that he would not only deliver them from Egyptian bondage, but also bring them into the promised land and then give them rest in the land from their enemies. Now, after centuries, think about it, centuries of traveling from place to place, setting up the temple, a tabernacle, and breaking down the tabernacle, and then entering into the land under the leadership of Joshua, then being in the land and battling enemy after enemy, subduing the land, conquering the land, and then setting up their capital in Jerusalem under King David, God has fulfilled now his promise.
Amen.
He's reminding them that. And here they are. He said, all that God said he'd do, remember what he said that he was going to bring us into this land and give us rest? Now here we are. Man, we've experienced what he promised. He did exactly what he said he'd do.
Amen.
Now notice this rest is really confirmed by the temple being a permanent structure compared to the tabernacle that was temporary. Even when it was in the land, the Ark of the Covenant went from Shiloh and to different places there and then into Jerusalem. And now Solomon says, hey, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. In other words, God has done great things for us, just like he said.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, Joshua put it this way earlier, of course not referring to the same thing, but reminding them of the same principle, that God fulfills his promises.
Amen.
He said in Joshua 21:45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass.
Right.
And tonight I'd like to take a moment by means of application and ask all of us to think of all the and remember all the great things that God not only promised he would do, but that he has done.
Amen.
He's done great things in my life and your life as well.
Amen.
We just heard the choir opener, didn't we?
Amen.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done.
Praise
Why do
Lord.
We sing songs like that? To remind us of God's fulfilled promises.
Amen.
You know, first thing I'd like to thank the Lord for, and you should as well, and think
Praise
of his promise,
Jesus.
Is our salvation.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
You saved here tonight? Amen. We should be thankful for that. You know, God promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, immediately after sin entered this world, God said to us, he said he would provide a Savior that would pay our sin debt for us.
Amen.
He said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Amen.
Then in Isaiah 53, he described this promised Savior. Of course, he did throughout the Bible. But in Isaiah 53, the Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then imagine, after all of those promises, a little over 2,000 years ago, God did what he said he would do. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to go to the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood for our sins. He died for us, but he went to that grave and he did not stay in that grave. Just as promised, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Praise God for that. He did what he said he'd do. Amen. We all remember that tonight. God keeps his promises. You know, then I think of the promises of salvation, not only with Jesus Christ, but in our own lives. You know, God promised, he said this, so simply that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise of God. He promised if you and I would simply call upon him in faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Amen. He promised he'd save us. He promised he'd change us. He promised he'd give us a new life in Jesus Christ, a new purpose in this world, a new lease on this life. Yes, eternity in heaven, amen for that, but changing us as well here on this earth. And if you're here tonight and you are saved, remember God did what he said he would do. He saved you, he changed you, and he's given you a new purpose in this life. Thank God for his promises. Amen. So I think of what he's done, but I also think of what he says he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
By the way, there's more to the story.
Hallelujah.
But wait, right? We've all remember Brother McBride. But wait, there's more. Amen.
Amen.
Notice what he says in verse 56 again. There hath not failed one word. Now let me interject a little bit of logic here. And say this, since not one thing God said would happen has failed,
Amen.
Then does it stand to reason that we can Amen. Trust that not one thing that he says is going to happen will fail either? And it won't.
Amen.
Because his promises are true.
Praise Jesus.
Listen, have hope tonight in God's promises. You know why?
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is coming again.
Praise
We're
going
to be out of this world
Amen.
At any moment. Think about this. You and I have an eternal home in heaven. We're going to be there
Amen.
One day if we're saved. And this old world is going to end. It's over. It's going to burn up. And again, my point here tonight as we think of this reminder that Solomon's given is that we need to remember that we have a God whose word is sure. We have a God that keeps his promises. He's a God of his word. What he says will happen. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Of course he will, because he's God. So I see here, as Solomon's given him this one last charge, he first reminds him of God's promises. Listen, nothing God said he did didn't happen. Every word came true, and every word's going to come true. Then there's a second thing I noticed that he reminds them of. Not only reminds them of God's promises, but he also reminds them of God's presence.
Amen.
Notice what he says in verse 57. He says, the Lord our God be with us. I like that.
Amen.
The Lord our God be with us. As he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us. Now go back to Exodus chapter 33, if you would. Hold your hand here. Just a quick verse here on something that Moses said that I think echoes echoes what all of us think. Again, Moses was called of God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And Moses is basically saying here, let me read it and then I'll say what he's saying here. Notice in verse 14, he's having this conversation with God. And he says, God says to Moses, he says, notice, and he said in verse 14 of Exodus 33, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, amen, and I will give thee rest. Amen. Now, I like what Moses says in verse 15. And he said unto him, this echoes, I believe, our sentiments as well. If thy presence go not with me, amen, carry us not up hence.
Amen.
In other words, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go.
Right. Amen.
Because I can't do this on my own.
Right.
And by the way, we can't live this life on our own either. We need him. We need his presence. And we have it. You see, Solomon was reminding the people that through everything that the nation of Israel had been through, think about it for a moment.
Amen.
From the call of Abraham and Genesis chapter 12, through his life, the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob, then the 400 years in Egypt, then the crossing of the Red Sea, then the wilderness wanderings, then the crossing of the Jordan River, then all the battles in the promised land, then the days of the judges, what a mess that was. Then through the reigns of King Saul, and then King David, and now to King Solomon. Through everything, through all the spiritual highs, and through all the spiritual lows, through all the ups of life, and all the downs of life, and all the in-betweens, he's saying, listen, our God has never left us.
Praise the Lord.
He's always been with us. And by the way, he never will.
Praise the Lord.
Now, that's a good reminder if you ask me.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a good reminder.
Amen.
Do you know it's no different for every child of God tonight?
Right.
You're not in this alone.
Amen.
You may feel alone tonight, but you're not.
Hallelujah.
Because his presence is there. I think it's good to encourage others. I think that's vitally important. But the truth of the matter is all we need is God.
Amen.
He's there. He's there for us. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed.
Amen.
Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He never leaves us. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen.
I like that. Hebrews 13:5, a familiar verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, watch this, he's told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why do we doubt that? Because we need to be reminded of it all the time. Can you imagine that? No matter what you are going through, no matter what you're dealing with, it could be sickness. It could be death. It could be depression. It could be discouragement. It could be loneliness. It could be the loss of a job. It could be losing your health. It could be family problems, marital problems, financial problems, a pandemic. It could be a surgery, a procedure, or maybe you're inching up in the later years of life. Understand something. Whatever it is,
amen,
God has not left you. He's there. He's with you, never to leave us.
Amen.
You know, Jesus promised in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
I will come to you. What a great reminder Solomon gives, and all of us need tonight,
amen,
of God's perpetual presence.
Praise
Do you understand
Lord.
He's with you tonight?
Thank you, Jesus.
It's nice to have a friend.
Amen.
It's nice to have somebody. But it's no better than the one that never leaves us nor
amen.
Forsakes us, the Lord Jesus
Praise
Christ.
The Lord.
So again, Solomon reminds them, number one, of God's promises. Number two, he reminds them of God's presence. Then I see a third thing in verse 58, another reminder, and that is he reminds them of God's power. Or should I say empowering us? Here's what I mean by that. Look at verse 58. Read it closely. That he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. Amen. Notice the phrase that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways. You see, Solomon is reminding the Israelites that it is God that enables us to live for him in this world.
Amen.
God enables us.
Right.
You know, we've gotten to the place, many of us, where we say, I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. Yes, you can. Right. And yes,
Amen.
I can. He's with us. He empowers us. And I know I have the same ears and eyes that you have. And I see what's going on. And I understand we have some young families in our church. I thank the Lord for that. But sometimes we get to the point where we say, I don't see how anyone can live for God in this wicked world. Well, we say, how can I raise my kids for God in this wicked world? Or we say, how can you and I reach this generation for Christ? How can we reach this world with the gospel? I'll tell you how.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
God. I mean, I know they're rewriting history. I see it. I see them dismantling America. And you may say, we don't have a chance. But may I echo the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that said in Matthew 19:26, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You can live for God.
Amen.
Don't hang your head. Don't let your lip fall to the ground, to your toes. We can live for him. Why is that? Because he enables us.
Amen.
He gives us the wisdom that we need to raise our kids for God. He gives us his power to make a difference
Amen.
In this world. Go over to Luke chapter 24. Let me show you something as well, too. I know, again, I'm reminding us tonight. Yep, that's
Praise
what I'm trying
Lord.
To do. Luke chapter 24. I wasn't planning to go here, but we'll go here anyway. Luke chapter 24. Can you imagine the task? After hearing the task that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to those disciples, what they thought in their minds. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Watch this. And ye are witnesses of these things.
Amen.
He's saying, here's what's going to happen. I want you guys to go and preach. I want the repentance and remissions of sin to be preached throughout the entire world. I'd probably be standing and go, amen. And then he said, yeah, and I want you to do it.
Huh.
I'm sorry. Yeah, ye are witnesses. Us, we're fishermen. Yeah, you. How are we going to do that? Well, look in verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Amen.
Oh, we could go to Mark chapter 16, Acts chapter 1, and talk about that. He said, don't go anywhere until you have my power. Of course, we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, they were empowered to do this. My point is this. Sometimes we look, oh, the bus, I don't know how we can get kids on the bus anymore. And I don't know if people are going to answer the door and talk to us about the Lord. We can't do it. We just can't. Yes, we can. He empowers us to do it if we rely upon him.
Amen.
We can make a difference in this world. You
Praise
can have a strong Bible-believing Baptist church in 2021.
Praise
you can.
Amen.
Because of him.
Praise the Lord.
All we have to do is be faithful
Amen.
To him. You see, I want to remind us tonight of his power. By the way, mom and dad, Noah and his family lived for God in a pretty
Amen.
Wicked world. Daniel did the same thing. He lived for God in a wicked world. You and I can do the same. Why is that? Because of God's power.
Amen.
And then lastly, number four, go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. And notice we see the last reminder. We see Solomon reminding the Israelites of God's promises, God's presence, God's power. And then in verse 59 and verse 60, he reminds them of God's purpose. Notice verse 59. Excuse me. "And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night." Now watch this. "That he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require." What is that purpose? What is that cause he's talking about? Here it is in verse 60. "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God." Amen. "And that there is none else." Again, notice the phrase, "that he might maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times." In other words, Solomon's telling these Israelites here, he's reminding them, watch this, don't forget why God has put us here.
Amen.
Don't forget why we're here. Don't get sidetracked. What's the reason? "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else."
Amen.
So many churches today and so many of God's people today are getting sidetracked.
Right.
Distractions. And it's easy to do. I get it. But we need to stay on course.
Amen.
We have to be reminded again and again why are we here?
Amen.
Why is Capital Baptist Church here? Why are we gathered together tonight? What is this? To punch our religious time card? No!
Amen.
We're here for a purpose. What is that purpose? It's to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. That this whole world knows that there is a God in heaven that loves them and sent his son to die for them that they might have eternal life.
Glory to God.
Can we be reminded tonight of our purpose? We were not left here to make as much money as we can.
Right.
We were not left here to accumulate as many things as we can.
Amen.
Or to see as much of the world as we can. Or to do what we want with our lives. Or to make a name for
Amen.
Ourselves. Or even to engage in fruitless religious activity. That's not why we were left here. Jesus said in John 17:3, I like this, "And this is life eternal,
Amen.
That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Folks, we live in a lost and dying world. We live in a world, we live in the midst of walking dead men. That's what
Amen.
we're in. They're sheep without a shepherd, and
Amen.
They are destined for an eternal hell. And our God wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. And we're not just coming here tonight to waste time. We're not just having missions conference and Baptist History Sunday just to have fun. Although we'll have fun, and I'm not against having fun, but that's not the main purpose.
Amen.
We're trying to make a greater difference in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we do what we do.
Praise
Otherwise, it's just pack up our tent and go home.
Right.
We're here for a reason.
Amen.
Let's never forget it.
Praise
that people
Jesus.
Know the Lord.
Amen.
The reminding of a king. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of those things
Amen.
Again and again and again. I need to be reminded of God's promises. He's made some promises. He's fulfilled a lot of things in our lives.
Praise Jesus.
And this book is going to come to pass, right? Every Praise jot and every tittle
Amen.
Of it is going to come
Hallelujah.
To pass. From the beginning to the end. We're about right here in it, by
Glory
the way.
To God. Amen.
About near the end here. It's going to come to pass.
Amen.
And then I remember his presence. He's with me. Amen. Feel alone tonight? Don't feel alone. If you're saved, he's with you.
Amen.
He'll help you through whatever it is you're going through. He'll help you. He's there for you. I can't help you as a human being. I can pray for you. Others can't help you. They can, encourage you and all. And that's a little bit of help. But the true help comes from him
Amen.
And his presence.
Praise
and then he empowers us to live the Christian life. And he's left us here with the purpose of reaching this world.
Amen.
Four reminders from a king and four reminders from the king. Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Let's
Amen.
Pray together.